church, God speaks. And in church, we worship him. There are two things. We give and we receive God's word. So anytime you are coming to church, know that you carry some sacrifice. It could be praise, it could be offering, it could be thanksgiving, it could be appreciation in your heart. Bring it, no matter how you've been beaten in the world. When you are coming, you have something to carry to the house of the Lord. Just carry it. If it's thanksgiving, if it's an offering, it's whatever it is, give it to him. That's your portion. God also has his portion to do. He also gives to us and speaks his word. And as he speaks his word, there is power and life in his word. The Bible says that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with who? And the word was who? So anytime God speaks, who is coming to you? He is in his word. And without that word, all things were what? Made through who? Him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. So he's talking about the creator. He's talking about whatever we can see, we can feel physically, we can see physically, did not just come from any place. It is out of the word. So anytime we come and he speaks, the word has the ability to create. And as we give him that praises, he speaks back to you. But we also have a heart. The word can be, God can speak. But the word can benefit you or not benefit you. You hear what I said? It's good to have a good physician and a doctor. How many of you have got good doctors, professors, that when you go to hospital, you sit before them, you get comfortable? When you are sick and you get to some doctors, sometimes you are afraid. Some of them, you are not afraid. You know, once I get here, something can be done because he has the knowledge about what I'm going through. But it's not enough to sit before the best professor, the best doctor on the FA. He can do everything and give you a prescription. You can even get the money and buy the medicine. But you can also decide to put it on your shelf and look at it. Professor so-and-so gave me this. Every morning you go and look at it. Oh, this is a beautiful drug. This is nice one. This one there, it is the professor who gave it to me. And you go every morning, every afternoon, every evening. By the time you realize you are dead. Why did the drug didn't work for you? Because you didn't take it. So it's those who take the word of God. It's those people that it benefit. The Bible said that, and the word did not benefit the children of Israel because they did not mix it with faith. The same word can be spoken here. Some can mix it with faith. Some will take it as ordinary thing that has come. Some will say, God has spoken to me, and everybody will receive different results depending on your faith in him. God will not act if you don't act. God is helpless if you don't act. He will tell you that Israel, go forward. I will help you, I will save you, I'll fight for you. And you can decide to sit down and cross your leg. Onyame beye. Onyame beye. Now. It is those who act or take the word of God. That's why I say I like the local translation of faith. J Medi. One say J Nafatuho. Take literally, he say, take and what? And eat. It is the word of God in you is the one that is powerful. Is the one that brings healing. Is the one that can make a way for you. And that is why when you come, you don't just sit down and listen and listen and listen, but you listen and practice and do it. It is the doers that are blessed. It is not only the hearers. Yet faith cometh by hearing, but the result of faith cometh by doing what you heard. We must know that God is interested in helping the weak. His specialty is helping the weak. Anytime somebody is vulnerable, is weak, God goes on that person's side. He takes what is weak, what is not strong, and bring strength out of it. That is why he said that in his word, that God will always lift the humble, the one who is humble. The one who thinks he's strong, he can do everything, God fight against that person. So God always wants us to rely on him. Isaiah 40 verse 29, I love that scripture. He gives what? He gives power to the weak, not power to the people. Anytime somebody feels weak, you're a candidate for God to fill with strength. Weak in every area of your life. Why will God bring help? Because the weak normally will cry and will ask for help. When you are strong, it's difficult for you to ask for help because you know you can do it. He gives power toward the weak. And to those who have no mind, he does what? He increases or gives strength. Don't think that you don't have strength to fulfill what God has called you to do. He gives strength to those who are weak and don't have a disadvantage in some other area. So even naturally, those that God called, sometimes, God, if you are very strong, he will empty you. He will make sure that he deflates you and makes you become nobody. Then he can make you somebody. He called Moses. Moses was somebody. You know that? In fact, he was trained in a palace. And trained to become a future king. So all that is needed to make a king, he had it. He went to the best school in Egypt. Not Saito. Where kings, he got the best teachers to teach him. He was taught all kind of manner of things and how he could be a king. So when Moses moved out in Egypt, everybody saw that this is a man that is full of the wisdom of Egypt. He had all kind of wisdom of Egypt, both from the magicians, from the professors, from every other angle he's been taught. So he thought he was very strong. He thought he was very smart. So he decided that this strength that I have, I can use it to deliver my people. So two people were fighting. Because he was told, somebody whispered to him, that Moses, you are drawn from water. Who are you? Moses, your parent, maybe when the mother was taking care, was telling him, hey, Moses, you don't belong to this place. But sometimes, the way they would treat you, you look at all the what you get out of that place is difficult for you to separate yourself. Here you are, your people are suffering. And here you are, you yourself, you are enjoying. Do you go and become a sufferer with your people and become poor and lose your job? Or you compromise and help destroy your own people? Just because they gave you some car, you want to destroy the other person. Somebody gave you money, and that's all. Your mind have changed. Moses knew where he came from. If you don't know where you come from, you always compromise. And I was talking to somebody. Sometimes we travel, I was talking to some gentleman. He's a black American. He's always very passionate about his root. See, our root, blacks, our root. I said, do you know, you people have a problem with root. We have a problem with root. Because you've been taken out, you don't know where your root is. We are here. We are not bearing the fruit. So let's take your root. We'll give you the root. You bring your fruit. Then we can have a very fruitful land. God comes to help the weak. So God then, Moses realized he wanted to help his people. We all have our compassion towards some people. Some are very strong traditionalists. Even after becoming a Christian, that thing is still in you. Some are very strong politicians. After becoming born again, his politics supersede his Christianity. So they go out to do politics. This one insult, he forget that he's a Christian. He gives back, bang. He said, oh, but pastor, they all go to church. Yes. You can all go to church. But it depends which part of your life is stronger. You can use church to support your politics, and you can use politics to support your church. I hope you're getting me. I told somebody, I said, hey. The person was talking to me. I said, do you know, you politicians, you think the pastors are, they are not wise. Anytime you go there, you're talking, you want their support to make it. You want to use them. They want to use you. All of us want to use one another. So when your Christian background, which area is very strong, if you're very strong in political, your mind is filled with politics, your mind is filled with traditional things, your mind is filled with education, and Christianity becomes a supporting, you know, when you're going to fight, there's a supporting bout. Some of the fights, they are not the one people want to go and see. They want to see the true champions. So we need to be very strong. Moses, I believe that the mother, when was feeding him, he was teaching him and telling him and putting faith in him that, look, you don't belong here. You are not a chicken. You are an eagle. Even though you were hatched among chicks, and you ate the same food with them, you played with them, but you are not one of them. Until you realize you are not one of them, you behave like them. The day the eagle will realize, I am not a chicken. I'm an eagle. The floor is not my place. The sky is my place. He looks at the sun and starts beating the wings. Pa, 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 pa. Tries and sees himself above where your fowls can get to. For them, they fly out of danger. When there is danger, you are driving them, they fly, but you know they don't go high. Pa, 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 they go and fall there. Their wings do not carry them beyond a certain area. But the eagle have the wing that can carry it beyond. Moses was among the people, and he tried in his strength to deliver his people. Two of them were fighting. And now it came to pass in those days that Moses was grown, and he went out to his brethren, you see how they call him, and looked at their burdens. He saw that this is my brother. And look at how they are maltreating my brothers. Don't go and sit with people and maltreat your own brothers. Don't allow the world to use you to maltreat your own people. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. Because he knew, this is my brother. If he didn't know, he wouldn't have acted. But he knew, and inside him, there is some link. He was linked to the Israelite. He was just an Egyptian by occupation. He is there. And they think he's an Egyptian, but in heart, he knew he was a Hebrew. So he picked. He went there. Maybe they thought he was going to help the Egyptians to keep. And he looked this way and that way. What do you say? When you're going to do something and you don't want anybody to know, you look this way and that way before you do it. You've remembered what you did. You were looking this way and look that way so that you will not be seen. But God sees you. Sometimes you think nobody has seen you. He thought nobody saw him. Look, whatever we do, somebody is watching you. You think nobody is watching you. Somebody is watching you. Even God don't watch you. Human beings, they are watching you without you knowing. So now people who walk about, some of them, they go as if they don't see anything. They are there. Yeah, I know people are watching me. Some people have been planted into this church. You see what they are going to say. You hear what they are going to say. Do. So you can be carried away and put your hand into their mouth. So He looked here, looked there, looked around, nobody. He said, wow, time to act. So he helped his brother. He said, hey, Charlie, wait. I'm trained to beat and to kill you people, but I'm going to use it for them. So he looked this way, looked that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He killed him and did what? Try to cover what he did. And most of the time we do things and try to cover as if nobody will see it. One day, it will be discovered. Somebody is watching you. God is watching you. He buried the thing in the sand, meaning nobody will ever see that person. They will look for him. They will come and tell him, Moses, this person is lost. Go and help them. And he himself will lead the group to go and look. Oh, this world. To be looking for somebody he himself knows where he is. The one who killed is the one doing the investigation. So what kind of result is he going to bring? So Moses hid it. And when he went out the second time, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. This time it's not a Hebrew man and an Egyptian. These are two brothers. So, and he said to one who did the wrong. You know, normally it's one who do the wrong. So he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? And when, then he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? He thought nobody knew it. Probably the one he helped, you know, the one he helped is the one. See, when there's a second person, it's no longer a secret. Whatever you do with somebody, don't tell me to be a secret. So maybe the guy went and said, hey, you know, I was fighting with somebody and Moses came and killed. So it was going around, like Ghana. Do you want to kill me too? And when Moses heard it, he said, wow. So this news has spread. So Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. And he advised himself. Maybe he didn't go home. Went into the wilderness. He had then stayed there for 40 years. Studied for 40 years. Learned the Egyptian method for 40 years. God have to take away all that prince and this mentality. Sometimes some people think they are still prince. Sometimes you can have your own mind. You could be living with very great family, rich family that is no longer rich, but you still think you are rich, and you still want people to behave, to treat you like the rich man. You could be a son, a daughter of a great man who was respected by everybody. Maybe a vice chancellor. And everybody knows you, headmaster's son, daughter. President, child. And anytime you're going to school, they'll carry you to school, they'll bring you back, and listen, there's soldiers and police all around you, they guide you. Your father left office. 5 years, you still think. 10 years, you still think that people, the police, should salute you. You still think people should treat you like the son of a president. But there's a new one. So that is why people will run away from you. I said, oh, people are not very, yeah. You see, look, when I had this, people were running to me. Look at all the friends, all the people have run away. What should they do? It is your position that attracted them. So if that position is not there, what are they coming for? Politicians, learn from me. Honorable, yeah. Honorable, yeah. Lose and see. So advice to all of us is that you might have genuine friends, not because of your position, but because we are friends. But most of the time when we are lifted, those who are sincere and very loyal to us, we leave them and we find new friends at the top. This small wisdom for you. Moses had to go. He went out. A prince, the one that lived in the palace, his home now is in the wilderness. And he was doing the least job, a shepherd. You see the president's son washing plate in a restaurant where he could eat, get something to eat. A president's son becoming a security man in somebody's country. He used to come, when he came, everybody salute. The president now, a security man, taking care of somebody's ship. Moses was reduced to nothing. His wisdom that he carried, he learned from Egypt, God removed them to the extent that when God wanted him to go and lead, he said, no, I am not fit to be a leader. God takes the weak. God weakened him. Moses said, I am a stammerer. When did you become a stammerer? Moses, you can go through struggle for an orator to become a stammerer. He said, I'm a stammerer, God. I can't speak. And Moses said to the Lord, Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Then Stephen, also when he was narrating, said that Moses was what? Eloquent. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Is that somebody who can talk? Concerning the Egyptian knowledge, he is very, very knowledgeable and eloquent. But the new ground God is sending him, he's inadequate. Sometimes, not that people are not eloquent. If you don't have vocabulary for anything, you won't be eloquent. If you haven't done computer before and they bring you to come and talk about computer, you don't know which words to use. But when they take you to another field, you see your mouth. You'll be talking. You talk. And when they turn to the other, they say, you see, you can't contribute much. So we all have where we are eloquent, mighty in words. You can be a lawyer, mighty in words in the law, but when it comes to other area, you lack. They're talking, say, you are a stammerer in the spiritual realm. Mighty in politics. Stammerer in Christianity. In spirit. Mighty in spirit. Stammerer in other things. So this is how I say, I am stammerer. I cannot. But you see the two people. Stephen said, the man was what? Mighty and eloquent. Moses was learned. They said Moses was what? God removed that what he has learned did not benefit. He said, did not do make any sense to him again. But that was not what God was going to use him to do. He deflated him. Then God's strength came into Moses. He said, Moses, I'm not going to take you to do the work. What you've learned, you need chariot. You need sword. You need horses to be able to fight a battle. But what I'm going to take you through, look, you don't need it. It's a spiritual warfare. That one, you are not master in that area. So go. And the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? He said, a rod. The rod, he took it there. He didn't bring it from Egypt because he wasn't a shepherd boy there. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent and Moses fled from it. We are old rod. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by your tail, by the tail. You know that it's not wise to hold a snake by the tail. If you get the head, you make it powerless by the tail. Yet, take it by the tail. I can imagine how Moses was hesitating. He picked it. Moses dropped his staff and gave the staff in God's hands. And it became God's staff. When he picked that staff, it's no longer Moses' staff again. It is now God's staff in your hands. Whatever you have, leave it in the hands of God. Let God transform it and pick it. And it is that will bring divine victory unto you. It could be anything. It could be your education. Hand it, put it into the hands of God. It will be a talent you have. Give it into the hands of God. Let God transform that thing and use it. That is when you can use it spiritually to destroy the devil's things. Moses went there and he won the battle. He became weak so that God can become strong. He was the meekest on earth. What does it mean to be meek? You know, things can make us meek. Ohia niba. Ye dia grobe ondibi. Life can make you meek. I always say, anytime you want to see a humble man, look at him when he's rich. I can't say a poor man is humble. Already you'll be humble. This is only few poor who are proud. But generally, poverty can humble you. Hey, you ni madia fo. Ghana fo, you ni madia fo. Yenyaya will go beyond 8. If we had our own way, but nkofobi ahomuli yankakra. Kakra di bema yindi. Wani wani. They do know. We employ people. Who can't employ? They say, don't employ them. And you hear, they are sicker. Nkofobi me addicted to my end. Wise rich man, we have gonna feel on yourself. If they put us on the same level with any one of them over there, say you enjoy exams. Some are down berry. The when people are humble, when they are poor, oh massa. Oh yes, massa. Oh massa. How it is? Let them get money. When they are poor. Oh, honey, their wife, they will do everything. When they get money, they want second wife, third wife, fourth wife. The reason why he wasn't a womanizer is because he didn't have money for two women. Once he's blessed, he's promoted. You know, so if I open my mouth, the lady will respond. God, you know at your condition, if you propose, they won't accept. So you won't even go. So God, humble us. As we humble ourselves, God will lift us up.
Amen.
He removed all what Moses had and humbled him and used him. If you look at Paul, I remember I heard about Paul before. Paul was a very learned person. Learned under Gamaliel. One of the top and the best professors. Respected in the Sanhedrin. This man, when he speaks, he understands the law. Paul could quote the Torah left and right. In those days, is in their place. It was like you have to learn the thing, like how they recite in Islam. Not these days you put the Bible in your computer. It should be in your head and your heart. The devil comes, you're going to look for your computer, it freezes. How can you come? That he will hit and hit and hit, you want to quote, hit, it won't come. The thing to is not in your heart. So how can you fight him? You can quote everything apart from the Bible. You read every book. When you take the Bible, you sleep. It's not interesting in reading the Bible. How many know that? Some of you take it, you start yawning as if you start opening. You want oxygen. Put it aside and take another book. Even when you are dozing, you are still reading it. The devil is trying to keep you. So he was learned, but God turned him. He removed all that he learned. I thought God calling Paul, he would have sent him to the Jews because the way he's learned. But he took him to the Gentiles, who you don't need plenty scriptures to quote. Took him there and gave him the milk. Took him to the Arabian desert, emptied him. And he came out another Paul. A Saul from Paul, who would go around the Gentile nations trying to preach to them. The Jews would beat him. They were preaching. He would take the Bible they haven't read before. They haven't said it before. He would take it and bring it to them. Then, a fisherman, you know him, Peter, I thought Peter was the one they should send to the Gentile because he hasn't been to a Bible school proper. Peter didn't go to Bible school. He's a fisherman. Jesus called him, gave him 3 days. He walked with Jesus three and a half years, isn't it? So how can Peter face these people who have done theology and argue with them and win his case? The one who should win that case is who? But he's like a lawyer. He will take this and take it like this and make sure, make reason with the people. And when they look into it, they say, oh, wow. Because they always want to, you can appeal to their mind. But God said, you, Paul, that's not where you should go. You, Peter, fisherman, go there. Just asking me to go and lead lawyers. Okay. But God did something. He used Peter to turn the entire city, but he wanted his power to be made known. In the weakness of Peter, God spoke few words, and the power of God was made known, and it turned the heart of most of the Jews to God. It takes what is weak to confirm what is wise. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the God, the creator of the end of the earth, neither faint nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He takes anything. Sometimes our understanding, we want to put our understanding in the understanding of God. That, hey, if we want a king, get a tall, tough, macho man who can, and God will go and take David. God, you made a mistake. You see, when Jacob was praying for Joseph's sons, he crossed his hands. Joseph said, this man is old. He doesn't know that this one is the youngest. He doesn't know that I intentionally prepared him, ushered them. I had the pepper. I know where you should put your left. I know where you should put your right. So he arranged them perfectly before the father so that the blessing won't miss. When he brought it, and Jesus said that, Father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. This is the strength. This is what can lead. My firstborn is the strength, and your strength is your right hand. Put that strength on the one who has strength. He said, no. The one that is weak, he is the one that needs my strength. He think the father didn't know, but the father operated by the spiritual realm. Brethren, wherever you are, you'll be crossing. God is going to cross his hand. In your weakness, he's going to pick you and put strength within you and bring you a divine victory in life. He will do it. He will perform it. God is interested in helping the weak because he's strong and mighty, and he will help all those that need strength today. When we feel like we are weak, remember today that God's strength will support you and take you to your destiny, says the Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.